Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. Dee, hate to do this, but if you come back to the piano, where's our bass player and our drum player? I want you to come. I feel like I'm going to preach. I'm not trying to get out of preaching. But I just don't know if we got that or not. You can just call Jesus. Hallelujah. Whatever your need is, you can just call on Jesus. Praise the Lord. He's never failed. He doesn't understand what it means to fail. Could somebody say amen?
He doesn't know what it means
to make a mistake. He doesn't do that. Praise the Lord. Amen. Jesus on the main line. You just tell Him what you want. Oh my Jesus on the main line. You just tell Him what you want. Well, my Jesus, on the main line, you just tell Him what you want. Well, Jesus, on the main line now. Well, if you need salvation, you just tell Him what you want. Well, if you need salvation, you just tell Him what you want. Well, if you need salvation, you tell Him what you want. Well, my Jesus on the main line right now. Hallelujah. How many of you believe that tonight? Would you just lift your hands? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't know what your need is, but you know what your need is. You know what you have need of more than anyone else in this room, except for God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't want to leave like I came tonight. Brother Ken came, we went through the trouble to get here. We might as well have church. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, my Jesus on the main line, tell Him what you want. Oh, Jesus on the main line, just tell Him what you want. Well, Jesus on the main line, tell Him what you want. My Jesus on the main line now. Well, if you need a blessing, tell Him what you want. Oh, if you need a blessing, just tell Him what you want. Well, if you need a blessing, tell Him what you want. My Jesus on the main line now. Well, if you need deliverance, tell Him what you want. Oh, if you need deliverance, tell Him what you want. Oh, if you need deliverance, tell Him what you want. My Jesus on the main line now. You just call Him up. Call Him up. Tell Him what you want. Just call Him up and call Him up. Tell Him what you want. Just call Him up. Call Him up. Tell Him what you want. My Jesus on the main line now. Well, if you need revival, tell Him what you want. Oh, if you need revival, tell Him what you want. Oh, if you need revival, tell Him what you want. My Jesus on the main line now. Oh, Jesus on the main line, tell Him what you want. Oh, Jesus on the main line, tell Him what you want. Oh, Jesus on the main line, tell Him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. You just call Him up, call Him up. Tell Him what you want. Just call Him up and tell Him what you want. Just call Him up, tell Him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. I feel like some of you are starting to believe that tonight. I could call on Jesus. Hallelujah. With whatever need I've got, He's able to move. He's able to minister. in that need. Oh, thank God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm feeling a little bit dangerous. I feel like I could have a one-man camp meeting. Praise God. I said that, Brother Kincaid. Don't get too dangerous, preacher. Praise the Lord. Hey, man, I feel like having church, don't you? Oh, glory to God. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, turn there to Mark chapter 4. Thank you so much, musicians. Thank you, sweetheart. Praise the Lord. Amen. My wife and I turned 40 in 2012. And I look like I'm 50, and she looks like she's 20. I'm very thankful for the wife that the Lord gave to me. Amen. Verse 35, Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. We're going to be looking all through chapter 5. The same day when the even was come, he saith to them, let us pass over into the other side. When they had went or had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with them other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? I'm certain you've probably heard it preached before, but I'd like to preach for a little while tonight. What manner of man is this? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Tell somebody before you're seated, he's great. It's been 6 years ago, it'll be 7 years. We resigned from our church in California where we pastored. And we were traveling back through the mountains. The day that we loaded our stuff and started coming back to Arkansas, my dad called and said, son, I know how you are. I know that we're best friends. We're close. And you're going to want to get here. But I don't want you to put your family in danger. They're going to have to do an emergency surgery. I have stage 4 cancer. And I'm going to be okay, son. I'll be here when you get here. We serve a big God. He's able to take care of us. And so my heart was heavy, and I didn't want to stop. I wanted to drive all the way. And so we're in the mountains in Arizona, and the fog was on this side. It came all the way across the road. It just slowly began to move across. And it got to the point to where I could just barely see maybe a foot, if that much, in front of the vehicle. I was going by the white line that I could see on the side. And we were headed through the mountains. It was very dangerous. And I leaned back and said, Deanna, I want you and the girls to begin to pray. We need God to give us a miracle. We've got to get back home. Dad needs us to get back home. And Deanna, I want you to tell everybody what the Lord did.
Well, the Lord made a way. We the girls and I, and they'd been sleeping. They woke up and saw the need. We started praying, and we just bowed our head to pray together and looked up, and the fog was gone, and you could just see straight ahead. And so the Lord just knew exactly. He knew we needed that for safety reasons. It was dark. It was late at night, and we could see straight what we needed to see just right down the road, and we thanked the Lord.
Amen. What was so miraculous about it, and the kids can tell you this, is that you could see the fog on this side of the highway and the fog on this side of the highway, but you couldn't see the fog in front of you. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God has power over nature. My father-in-law dreamed that a tornado was coming to his house in Richmond, Indiana, and he woke up in the middle of the night. And when he woke up, his spirit was disturbed in this dream. And he saw a tornado coming towards his house, and so he walked to the living room and pointed his finger at the tornado and said, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus." And in his dream, the tornado lifted over his property. Not just his house, but his property, and landed on the other side and went on doing damage. A few nights passed and he woke up. After having that dream, he went on about his business. He felt it was from the Lord. And a few nights later, he woke up to the sound of what sounded like a train, only realized it was a tornado. He went into the living room of his house. He opened up the door and pointed his finger at that tornado that was coming right at his property. It was one that came through, I don't remember what the year was there in Richmond, but he rebuked it in the name of Jesus. And the tornado lifted over his property, did not do one bit of damage to his property, landed on the other side and went down doing damage all through the rest of that part of the city. Oh, I want to tell you something, friend. Hallelujah. He's got power even over the power of nature. What manner of man is this? He is a God who is concerned about even the storms that come in our life, whether it be physical or whether it be spiritual, the natural things that happen in our life. God is able to control those things when we're walking and moving and doing what God would have us to do. Somebody says, "Brother Snow, why does that thrill you so much?" Because God walks with us. He lives with us. He abides with us. He takes care of us. Hallelujah. Every day of our life, He is leading and directing and guiding every affair of our life. Oh, I want you to know, not only is God over those spiritual or over those physical storms, but God is over the spiritual storms that come in our lives. I had no idea what was going to happen when I got back home. I had prayed with many and watched God just perform supernatural miracles. And I prayed for my dad, Brother Kincaid. I wept. I fasted. I prayed just like I'd prayed for others. I expected God to heal him just like I'd expected God to heal the others that I'd prayed for that God healed. But my father did not get healed. And I watched him go from a strong man, and I've told this story here, and so I don't want to be redundant, but I feel like the Lord put it on my heart to tell it. Maybe it's going to help somebody tonight. But my father had always been very strong and muscular, but when he got cancer, he went down to just simply nothing. And one day he got so weak he couldn't walk, and we were taking him to his chemo treatments, and I reached under and grabbed a hold of him and picked him up. And when I did, I felt the bones in his legs and the bones in his back and the bones in his arms, and I just about fell apart. I didn't want him to see it. And I set him down in the vehicle, and when I did, Dad, I'd recognize he was crying. And he said, "Son, I don't even feel like a man anymore." I said, "Dad, you're a man. You've already proven that. You're more than a man." My dad, just a few weeks before he passed away, he got my attention. I was there in the room, and he said, "Son, I want to tell you something. You don't know how good it is to know that whether God heals me or not, here I can die in peace I can look your mother in the eyes and say, I've never been with any other woman, nor have I ever wanted to be with any other woman except for you. He had proved that he was a man. He loved us. He prayed for me and my brother. In fact, after my dad passed away, there was a real struggle for a period of time, and it wasn't just emotional that was going on. It was spiritual, because Brother Prysock, Dad's prayers weren't there anymore. I mean, it left a huge vacuum in my life. He prayed. Sometimes he would call me. Dee could tell you, he'd call 2 or 3 in the morning and say, son, I just needed to tell you. I'm praying for you. Everything's going to be all right. Sometimes he just did that to be ornery. Amen. But most of the time he just said, son, I need you to know I'm praying for you. God's going to help you, son. God's going to move in your church. God's going to bless. Amen. And so after he was gone, there was just a vacuum that I just can't explain. And watching him in those last moments of his life, the storm that we went through, well, during that time, I wasn't able to pastor. We had talked with several folks there in the Arkansas district. And for whatever reason, at that period of time, it just seemed that, in fact, later, one of the highest officials there in the Assemblies of God came to me and personally apologized. He said, we let you down during this time. And financially, Brother Kincaid, we lost everything. Amen. I'm not saying that tonight. We've already taken up the offering. I'm not saying that to get a bigger offering. Amen. The Lord's helped us through that time. But during this time, we literally lost everything. And it was devastating. One day I walked out after all of this had taken place. I walked out on the parking lot of the church that we're pastoring now, and I just lifted my hands toward heaven. I said, Lord, why did I go through that? Why did I face that? And clear, as I'm talking to you tonight, God spoke into my spirit and said, because you're going to help others that are going through the same thing. Amen. You're going to be able to let them know that I'm still God, even in the midst of trials, even in the midst of storms. I want you to notice something about our text tonight. Jesus had told the disciples to go over to the other side. They were in the center of the will of God. Let me tell you something, friend. There are going to be times where you are right in the middle of God's will, but just because you're in God's will doesn't mean you won't face storms. Just because you're doing what God wants you to do doesn't mean that you won't face something in your life. Amen. But I want you to know, when Jesus gets up, and when he lifts his hand to the storm, I want to shout it in this room tonight. He has the power to calm every storm in your life. Somebody needs to hear it tonight in this room. God's saying to you, peace. Be still. Hallelujah. I was preaching in Stockton, California. There was a woman that was there. She sat a couple of rows back. And when I first got to the church, she saw me. And she said, oh, there's a big old preacher. He's got a big old tie. This was a woman that was in her mid-50s, maybe early 60s. And she looked like she was normal. But when she started talking, she sounded like a child. She had fallen down. How many was it? Was it 5 flights of stairs that she had fallen down, literally. And the doctors had declared her permanently disabled on that same date, back like 3 years prior to that service. She had been declared permanently disabled. They said she'll have the mentality of a child for the rest of her life because of the brain damage that took place from that fall. And while I was preaching, God stopped me right in the middle of my preaching. I stopped and walked over to her. And the only thing that the Lord was speaking to me was, that's it! Stop right now in the name of Jesus! Enough! That's all I could get. I just kept saying that over and over, and people were looking at me like some of y'all are looking at me right now. That's it! In the name of Jesus, that woman's eyes that seemed confused and like a child focused right in on mine. Tears began to run down her face. Brother Kincaid, her hands went up in the air. She started speaking in tongues. As the Spirit gave her the utterance, the service was over. Hallelujah. I mean, God began to move. The next night, the pastor called this man and his wife to come up and sing. And halfway through the song, he just stopped and stood there weeping. He said, "I can't help it." He said, "God gave me back my wife." He said, "There's no other way to describe it than God has worked a miracle in her life." And can I tell you, in this room tonight, amen, we may not be in a big coliseum with thousands of people, but God is looking at you individually. That's the way God operates. He operates with individuals. In fact, in that revival meeting, I don't believe we had more than 40 or 50 at any of the services. Can I tell you that God wants to say in your storm tonight, "That's it! Stop! That's enough! Peace! Be still!" And immediately when Christ speaks, every power of hell must bow to the authority of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, when that storm stopped, amen, the blessings of God were beginning to show themselves real in the lives of the disciples, that not only would God stop the storms in the physical sphere, but in the spiritual realm as well, God would stop the storms in their lives. Praise God. When we left from here the last time, we preached revival 4 or 5 years ago, however long ago it was. We went back to the little church we were pastoring. This is all happening together now, so you'll understand what I'm talking about. Before I got to the church, listen, I'm not whining or complaining. If you got media going, let's cut it off here for just a minute. Can we do that? I'm not whining, I'm not complaining, but I feel like I need to share this. I don't want to. But I feel like this woman was bound by drugs. She was bound by meth. She was bound by crack. She was bound by crank. She was bound by prescription drugs. I mean, whatever she could get her hand on. This was a woman that everybody in the community knew for years was bound by drugs. As the demons began to manifest themselves, God brought deliverance in her life. And the next time she came into the house of God, you should have seen the jaws. This woman was completely changed by the hand of God, completely delivered by the power of God, and there was a trail of people following to find out who was able to do this kind of thing. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what manner of man Jesus is. He has power over devils. Can I tell you, right here in this city of Goshen, right here in this region with Elkhart and how in the world do you say Mishawaka Waka Haka? However in the world you say all these names around here, Napadi and everything else, I want you to know that there are powers and principalities that are greater than you. But greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. It's time for us to stand in the name of Jesus and realize the manner of man that He is. He has power over hell. Glory to God. Walked out into church, into the hallway. I've been talking to a young lady, trying to get her to come to church, trying to win her to the Lord before I got her there. She never would come, but it was a Christmas program that we were having. And so when I stepped out in the hallway, I saw her, and when I did, she started gritting her teeth and shaking. And she leaned back against the wall and just stared at me, and a tear began to pour down her face. And I thought, glory to God, we got her. And I'm telling you, when God begins to send them, listen, we're in the last days. When God begins to send people that are bound by demonic powers, amen, when they come into this church, there's not enough power in hell. There's not enough demons to keep them bound if they want free. It's New Year's Eve, and some of you want to be sipping on eggnog, I know. But I feel God is in this place right now. Hallelujah. I hope somebody is listening to what I just said. There's not enough power in hell to stop somebody who wants to be free. Amen. There's some people that talk about demon possession and almost causes people to get scared or fearful. Let me tell you something. There's nothing to be scared of. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Don't try to over-spiritualize it. God's bigger and better. Hallelujah. And He is living inside of us, and there's no power in hell that can stop Jesus Christ. That's what kind of manner of man He is. Here in the first part of the chapter, before Jesus' feet ever got out of the boat, He was saying, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And that man who had legions of demons, that means hundreds, were possessing his life. He broke chains. Nothing could bind him. They couldn't put him in any kind of a prison cell. Nothing could hold him bound because of the power of the devil that was in his life. But the Bible said this man came running. Hallelujah. And Jesus knew, if he's running to me, those devils cannot stay inside of him anymore. And Christ was saying, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. The Greek is continuing tense here. Christ was saying it over and over again. Come out of the man, you unclean spirit. Come out of the man, you unclean spirit. Amen. When this young girl came in, we were singing Christmas songs, doing our Christmas program, talking about Jesus. How many of you know the devil hates Jesus? The more we talked about Jesus, the more the devils began to manifest himself in that young girl that was bound by a lesbian spirit. Amen. But when God began to move, those demons, as they manifested themselves, the saints gathered around. We rebuked the power of hell. Hallelujah. I'd like to report to you that young woman shouted all over that church when the devils went out. She spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Hallelujah. She wasn't filled with an unholy spirit anymore. She was filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Can I shout it one more time? That's what kind of manner of man he is. Hallelujah. Even the power of demons have to bow. He rebuked the demons. They came out of this man who had dwelt among the tombs, who had lived in the graveyard. Jesus set him free. In the process of this taking place, Jesus travels on, and there is a woman who has an issue of blood who comes behind and says within herself, if I can just touch the border of His garment, I'll be whole. Hallelujah. Dee, would you come to the music tonight? As this woman is pressing through to get to Jesus, you see, Jesus is on His way to the house of Jairus, whose daughter is laying at the point of death. She's got a sickness. She's about to die. This woman reaches her hand out and touches Jesus. And immediately, she's healed by the power of God. I was preaching at Bishop Archie's church in Sacramento, California. I was walking down the middle aisle of the church. There was a woman sitting about just a little past where you're at, Brother Lance. And I reached over and grabbed a hold of her arm. And I said, you need to march for your victory. She looked at me like I was a nut. She wasn't even saved. I didn't know that. If I'd have known that, I wouldn't have said it. I wouldn't have done it. But God doesn't need me to know everything. He knows it all. So she thought, might as well do this. So she got down the aisle and started marching. And when she got about halfway back, about right in here, she got about in here. And all of a sudden she screamed. And fell over on the ground and laid there for about 40, 45 minutes. Just weeping and crying. People had began to come into the altars, and there was young people there in the inner city that were getting deliverance, getting filled with the Holy Ghost. It was just a great service. God was moving. That woman got up and came on around the church. She came up to the front. And when she got to the front, she looked right at me and she said, yes! Oh, bless her, Lord. few minutes passed, she went, yes! A few more minutes passed, she said, yes, Lord! When she said it the third time, she fell down again, laid on the floor again, long time. The next night, I didn't know what had happened. I just thought God was really blessing her. The next night, we're getting ready for service. I'm in Bishop Archie's office, and I hear somebody shouting out in the hallway. Brother Archie said, bring that sister in here. I want to hear what God's doing. They brought her in the room, and she said, Bishop, she said, God has healed me. She said, you knew my condition. You saw the cancer on my face. She pointed up here, and there was nothing on her face. You knew about the cancer that was on my chest. And she said, the cancer. And she just got excited. A couple of the deacons grabbed a hold of her. She's dancing on. He's afraid she's going to tear up his office. He said, get control, sister. Tell me what God did. She said, the first time that I fell down, she said, Bishop, I saw a light shine out of heaven on this side of my face. And she said, you know the cancer. You know how that I was living on pain medication and how that my insurance had dropped me because we'd exceeded our limits and they were trying to fight us on everything. And she knew, he said, you know how that I was going to have to just stop treatment and just live on pain medicine that I could get until I died. But she said, when that light shined on this side of my face, she got carried away again, just started dancing. Amen. Finally, she got composure and she said, the cancer is gone. She said, feel my face. The skin looked like the skin of a brand new child. Hallelujah. God had completely burned that cancer off of her face. She said, the second time I fell down, I saw a light come out of heaven. She said, Bishop, you know how I haven't been a Christian. You know how Grandma brought me to church, but I never served the Lord. I just came to visit because I heard some white guy was preaching in our church. And she said, while he was preaching, she said, God began to deal with me. But when he told me to march, I didn't want to. But when I started marching, I started asking myself, are you ready now to serve God? She said, when I got to the front of the church, I heard God say to me, will you serve me? And I screamed out, yeah! God said again, will you serve me? And I said, yes! She said, the third time I said it, God said, then you're my child. And she said, that's when I fell. She said, the light shined on this side of my body and the cancer is gone. Bishop, the pain is gone. I've been healed by the hand of God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, that's what kind of manner of man he is. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Here just a few weeks back, I told you in our church the last several years, on a weekly basis, God is performing miracles. Everything from people who couldn't move their fingers. Amen. Stepped out and started worshiping God and God healed them. To cancer being burned out of their body. Hallelujah. Removed by the great physician. A man came to me and said, Brother Snow, the doctors are certain that I have cancer. They're getting ready to start treatment. But I urged them to give me just a little bit of time and to do a little more testing. And he said, Preacher, I believe that God is able to heal me. Will you pray with me? I said, Rick, you better believe it. Rick's about close to 70 years old and he cleans the new facility for us that we built for our Christian school. One day I walked in there and saw him. Tears were running down his face. He said, you know, when I was a little boy, I never knew God would let me do something so great. He said, look at what I get to do. I get to clean this facility. Even his main job is to clean the bathrooms there in the church. Hallelujah. Or there in the new facility. I mean, he's just weeping and crying and singing to the top of his lungs, worshiping. I wish everybody came to church felt that way. When he told me that he was certain, the doctors were certain he had cancer, I'm telling you, inside I got angry. I said, Devil, you can't have him. He loves God too much. He loves working for God too much. You can't do this. I gathered several men around him and we began to pray. Hallelujah. I felt the hand of God. I said, you get ready to get a good report, Rick, from the doctor. You better know God's telling you that before you say it. But I said, you get ready for a good report, Rick. When you come back, you be ready to tell everybody what God has done. Amen. You should have seen him when he come back. He already called me, but you should have seen him. He's coming in. He's shaking everybody's hand. He said, you know how you prayed for me? He said, the doctor told me to go home. He said, you know what the doctor told me? He said, I don't even know who you are. I think it made the doctor mad because he couldn't understand what had happened. He said, you're not the same person that we ran the scans on before. He said, I got more testing and the results came back. And the doctor has said that I don't have any cancer. I don't have anything that looks like cancer. He gave me a clean bill of health. Oh, can I shout it in this room? That's what manner of man he is. We had a woman who was dying with a stomach condition. Every week she was in great pain. Our song leader came off the platform one Sunday morning just trembling. Walked out to her. He had never met her before. Put his hands on her head and began to rebuke sickness. Amen. She didn't tell anybody. She went to the doctor. And when the doctor looked at her, he said, I don't understand this. You were dying before. There was nothing that we could do. I mean, we might could do surgery, but it would only prolong a little bit of agony. And he said, we really had no solution. But you're a totally different person. Your stomach is completely different from the scans and the tests and all the other stuff that we have from before. Oh, can I tell you, that's what manner of man he is. Hallelujah. Immediately when that woman reached out, you can read it there in Mark chapter 5. Immediately when that woman reached out and touched Jesus, virtue went out of him and into her body. She was immediately healed by the power of God. I just go on and on, and some of you are saying, please don't go on and on. So I want you to just stand. Will you stand with us in this room tonight? Hallelujah. Oh, that's what manner of man he is. He has power over the devil. He has power over demons. Praise God. Praise God. There's some preachers, I'm saying this to the younger preachers, the younger ministry that's in here tonight. There's some preachers, their greatest desire is to preach a great sermon. Not interested in that. I want to do what Jesus said for us to do. Because when these signs follow, I'm telling you, people are going to come to Christ. God's not in the circus business. He doesn't do it for a show. I already told you the other day. We've got people that drive over an hour to come to church because God is moving in the church. That's what's going to happen. Hallelujah. When Jesus shows up in the house, because that's what manner of man he is. Will you lift your hands in this room right now? I don't know what your need is, but I know who my God is. And he's able to touch you right now. He's able to heal you. Hallelujah. I was very blessed and privileged a couple of years back to go to Uganda in East Africa. We had a tremendous move of God in Karuma. We were planting a church there. And God just moved in a glorious, glorious way. And in that revival, it put a burden in my heart for the people that are there on the border. They have suffered so many years. There were children there, Brother Kincaid, with one arm. Because the rebels said, you're not working hard enough for us. We're going to take one of your children. They cut their arms off. Little children there with half of a tongue. Because the rebels said, you're not speaking good about us. And so they cut their tongues off. Some of them with an eye that's burnt. With a stick or metal from a fire, they've only got one eye. Some of them, one ear. I mean, it's somebody that'll just break your heart. Orphans everywhere in Uganda there on the border. And so when I came back, I just had a burden for Uganda and for God to move. And I heard what God is doing. I've heard a report since then of what God is doing among the orphans of Uganda. Some of those Christian workers began to realize those kids believe God can do anything. And so they're going to the regions where the gospel has been closed, where they won't let them preach the gospel. They take those children to the edge of those towns and they begin to scream out on their microphones through their PA systems, "Come and bring us your sick. Bring us those that have died within the last couple of weeks. Bring us the deaf. Bring us the blind. We'll pray for them and God will heal them." And those little orphans, brother, are putting their hands on dead bodies and dead bodies are standing up alive. Hallelujah. They're putting their hands on sick people. They're putting their hands on the blind. It's not only been reported among those of us that are interested in what God is doing in Uganda and planting the church. It's being reported in the national news what God is doing with these orphans in Uganda. Woo! Hallelujah! That's what manner of man God is. I'm telling you, the same God that's moving in Uganda is in this building tonight, right here in Goshen, Indiana, right here in First Assembly of God, right here in your pew. He's the same God. Hallelujah. If you've got a need in your body, you say, "I need a miracle. I've got a physical need in my body. I need a miracle." You may be like a woman I prayed for in Stockton that had diabetes for years. She came out and I began to pray for her. I've never been so full of anger when I prayed. I thought, this is a child of heaven and the devil is attacking her body. Sweet old sister. Pastor said this woman has served the Lord for years. Faithful. Never wants to cause any trouble. Only wants to be a blessing. We prayed for her. About 3 months later, the pastor called me. Said, "Brother Snow, you remember that woman we prayed for? She went home and got rid of all of her insulin. She went home and got rid of everything. God has healed her." I don't know if you know much about diabetes, but you don't do that unless God tells you to. But God told her He healed her. God gave her a new pancreas. Woo! Woo! Somebody says, "Preacher, I'd like to meet these people. I'd love to introduce you to them. I'd love to just give you that pastor's number and let you call if you're a doubter." Amen. I know how people think. Amen. But I'm not going to go to hell over telling some stories in a revival. I'm telling you, my God's still alive. He's still moving. He's still working. He's still the same God. That's what manner of man He is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. If you need a miracle of healing, don't come to the front. Just step out in the aisle there close where you are. Step out and lift your hands up in faith. Lift your hands up in faith. I want you to open your mouth and rebuke sickness. You've got the power. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. You open your mouth and rebuke that sickness in Jesus' name. You open your mouth and begin to quote the verses on healing that God has given to you. Praise God. South, brother, where you're going to pastor, or where you're pastoring now in Amber, north of where you're at, there was a young girl who her eyes began to move uncontrollably in every direction. She couldn't focus on anything. Her eyes just went crazy. Finally, she went blind. And the doctors said, "There's nothing that we'll be able to do." Brother Mollis was the pastor of that church. The young girl one night woke up in the middle of the night and said, "Mama, come in my room." She's speaking in tongues. She said, "Turn the Bible to Psalm," and gave the Psalm. She started reading and it said, "He'll give sight to the blind." Hallelujah. And she said, "Mama, turn over to this one." Every one of them had a reference to a blind, a person being healed, or that the blind would receive sight. That mother began to call different ones to come in and pray. Brother Mullis came in and prayed for her, and God completely healed that blind girl. Hallelujah. I want to tell you one more time, I hope you're listening to me tonight, that's the manner of man He is. Open your mouth and speak the word against that infirmity. Jesus' name, you open your mouth and speak the word of God against that infirmity. Now I want you to look around and see somebody close to you right now that needs a miracle that's standing in the aisle. The Bible said that believers, those that believe, they shall lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. Hallelujah. Brother, the devil has no power over this child in your home. You're the priest of that home, not the devil. I want you to rebuke that right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We curse it right now at its roots. That's the manner of man you are, Christ. The healer. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Some of you young ministry, look around. See someone close to you. Go to them. Begin to pray with those that are in the aisle. God has commissioned you to heal the sick. God has commissioned you. Hallelujah. Don't pile up on just one. Find different ones. Right now, we're going to believe God. Oh, miracles. Yes.